Okay, so we return today to a series I had semi-forgotten about, but thanks to some of you reminding me, we continue in looking at the planet types, conditions, and installations of the Imperium of Man. The Imperium is estimated to constitute over 1 million worlds. One of the ongoing quests carried out by the Imperium is to locate and unite any potential lost human colonies, and in a sense, the crusade of the Emperor continues to the current day. As we've seen, the Imperium has civilized worlds where civilians live their lives, some with a fairly reasonable quality of life. Others are privileged to help maintain paradise worlds of lush environments and entertaining the nobility and rich traders or maybe those in positions of power. Many other worlds are dedicated entirely to warfare or operating as military stockpiles. And then there are, of course, the Forge and Hive worlds that represent the industry and manufacturing concerns of the Imperium, neither of which are particularly appealing to most, as the habitation there means a life of grinding labor and servitude in extremely poor conditions. Some planets, though, are either naturally extremely hazardous or have become ruined as a result of Imperial manufacturing, production, or excessive resource exploitation, and these are designated as the Death Planets. These are classified as generally being uninhabitable by humans, however this is not to say that they are not necessarily uninhabited. You may find mutants, scavs, exile, or those within the Imperium unfortunate to find themselves assigned or posted to a death world because it holds some tactical or material worth. Living in such a place means that every day for those who find themselves there somehow in such a world of horror is a daily war of attrition. Now, waste planets are much, as you might imagine, a miserable ruin of a world where the entire planet's surface has been condemned to endless oceans of waste material, a never-ending horizon of rubbish and hazardous waste. Chemical, biological, manufacturing, it's all simply transported here and then offloaded. And very little real information exists as to how these planets are utilized by the Imperium. It's possible they are literal planet-wide fill sites where material is deposited by dropship and no one ever sets down on the planet itself. This, though, seems far too boring for the Imperium. So allow me to speculate and imagine for a moment. Much written off machinery or mothballed hardware could be used if properly recycled. And I think given the Imperium's massive availability of human workers coupled with an almost endless supply of penal slave workers, it would make complete sense that on at least some waste worlds, these poor souls would be housed on dilapidated hives, or at the very least some equivalent to an old manufacturing facility that has been converted to allow its now drone-like workers to strip useful components and material from the waste which endlessly accumulates. Others perhaps are tasked with reprocessing chemical waste, perhaps turning it into ammunition or raw materials to transport to a forge world or until their bodies literally disintegrate from the acrid chemical environment. It'd be fair to imagine that on such worlds its assigned workers may take issue with such assignments, and not unlike many hive worlds, an underclass of gangs and rebels could take hold outside of or within the darker recesses of the main workforce's habitation. Whatever the reality, I'm sure it's far more miserable and harrowing than simply a planet where waste materials are dumped, because that would be far too simple and boring for the Imperium of Man. Forbidden worlds are also relatively self-explanatory. The reasons as to why are perhaps less immediately clear. It's likely not something your average Imperial pleb citizen is going to ever have to decide about either way, because only high-ranking Imperial officials, civilian or military, rogue traders and the Mechanicus may have cause to travel to or from such worlds. A better way to describe forbidden worlds is that they are technically designated as being temporarily too much trouble by the Imperium, and this means they have either suffered some catastrophe that has rendered them so dangerous as to essentially exist under a permanent state of quarantine. And you may think to yourself, well, why not just exterminatus the planet if it's that bad? It's a fair point, except this takes resources, and resources you need not spend for the stroke of a pen or signature on a data slate. Demonic incursions that have gotten out of control, aggressive plagues, identified Xenos tombs, if you're thinking about the Necrons, are examples of why a planet may be quarantined permanently. The reason many of these worlds are not simply just obliterated is that they might often contain something the Imperium may consider of value or potential interest in the future, and the Inquisition are usually the ones who make the declaration of a forbidden world. It could be that something unusual or mysterious has been discovered, perhaps from an alien race that have been long dead or abandoned the world, or perhaps various Imperial explorers have travelled to a place and then just never been seen again. And remembering that the Imperium is nothing if not pedantic, and a world marked forbidden will no doubt eventually be dealt with either by typical brute Imperial force or a rogue trader who had the foresight to raise a well-prepared expedition. The rewards could range from anything like natural material resources, Xenos technology that can be converted, questionably, or even if we dare to dream, an STC fragment. The most disturbing aspect of Forbidden Worlds, though, is that they may often remain inhabited. Human survivors from whatever horror has befallen their world will likely persist, and they are likely entirely unaware that their planet has been written off. The result of this could vary. Some may attempt to seek a way to escape their intolerable situation, and some who may have had knowledge of their exclusion may see it as the Emperor's decree and either sacrifice themselves to prevent any further spread of whatever has infected their world, or maybe they just cannot deal with their reality any longer. And finally, those remaining could repeat scenes last seen during the Age of Strife by descending into an apocalyptic survival of the fittest situation as resources become scarce and civil order disintegrates. Those who somehow manage to find means of escape will likely be destroyed after initial contact as they exit the orbit of a planet. Very rarely though, some may make their escape or manage to stow away on Imperial vessels performing inspections closer to the planet's surface. These individuals will likely have lost whatever faith they had in the Imperium previously and now focus on self-reliance and ruthless use of their own initiative. This extreme sense of survival coupled with a distrust of all others make escapees of forbidden or quarantine worlds highly dangerous individuals who will not blink an eye to cut the throat of someone who they think may suspect or reveal their origins, or as a necessary means to acquire whatever they may need if they feel that they can get away with it cleanly. And then we come to the Death Worlds. It's important to be clear that Death Worlds are not dead worlds. They are usually, if anything, more alive than you would prefer, because Death Worlds mean that they're going to be just very hazardous to your health, either by natural or environmental conditions, or because you didn't notice quickly enough that the guys at the back of your column have been dragged off into the undergrowth by a tentacled monstrosity with more teeth than a flashy orc. A Death World could also be created as a result of a devastating planetary war, and the planet of Krieg, which suffered a complete environmental collapse as a result of being bombarded with nuclear weapons, is one such example. Death Worlds may be vast desert planets, ocean worlds, ice worlds, irradiated wastelands, or dense jungles full of vicious native creatures. Any of these classifications, though, may not be dangerous enough to be qualified as a Death World, because many planets across the Imperium could be called a desert world or ice world, yet are quite easily colonized. It's only those in the very extreme that are Death Worlds, and yet these may even have colonies of humans stationed on them. The reasons for which may have long since been forgotten, and simply the fact that those who call these worlds their home have become experts at surviving their harsh conditions is reason enough. Because their skills and directly pragmatic approach as extreme world specialists has led to them becoming ideal recruitment material for the Imperial Guard, Arbites, or even as Space Marines, who are looking always for those able to survive the extreme of the extreme. Some may, as with Forbidden Worlds, contain vast mineral wealth, and humans stationed there are simply a necessity, with the settlement being maintained despite the difficulty and high levels of inherent dangers. Mechanicus biologists speculate that some of the excessively dangerous creatures that inhabit these worlds are in fact tyrannid relics left behind from past incursions, and now cut off from the hive mind of the fleet are left to pursue more natural, self-serving behaviour. Many creatures on designated death worlds are easily lethal enough to be qualified as tyrannid-esque, and we know from Imperial discoveries that tyrannids have been probing the galaxy with their ships for far longer than originally thought. The populations on Death Worlds are pure survivalists. Everything in their daily lives will be focused around maintenance of their facilities and environmental infrastructure, as well as continuing to keep an airtight defense around their habitat. Efficiency in all respects is key, as there is no room for wastage in any sense. Even those unable to perform physical duties will play some role, even if that's just simply the upkeep of morale for others. The extremes of the conditions and pressures of maintaining their habs often leads many who exist on a death world to succumb over time to the immense mental pressure of this. Mental collapse from stress is not uncommon. However, it also allows for those who are naturally able to deal with this high level of pressure to come to the surface and take their place as natural leaders and administrators. The real challenge comes from those who have to venture outside the relative safety of the environmental hab, which is often an unfortunate requirement for those on a death world. Resources may need to be collected for off-world transportation or regular patrols to protect those doing the resource collection or simply to prevent damage to the infrastructure. The result of the hardships of living on a death world for its inhabitants are that those who hail from such worlds are usually very focused on what needs to be achieved and how this is to be done. They carry a pronounced sense of focusing on the group and not the individual, and they are wary of forging social relationships that run too deeply. They much prefer to keep others at arm's length, as in their experience most personal relationships are not especially permanent, and they essentially have developed a series of coping mechanisms to protect themselves from the daily horrors of living on a death world. This leaves them in the eyes of others to appear cold and disconnected, yet simultaneously very clear-minded and fiercely determined to complete whatever is required, whatever the cost. They'll often be seen to choose solutions that are the most direct and the fastest option, preferring to deal with tasks in an often recklessly direct approach that others would consider way too dangerous and want to explore alternative choices. The Imperial Guard warriors of Krieg are perhaps the most extreme example of this, where they exhibit such a casual disregard for their own lives that it can actually be demoralizing to other guardsmen fighting alongside them. Deathworld inhabitants who are able to withstand the mental and physical pressures of such a life are fine-tuned individuals forged by a daily war of attrition with their surroundings. They're unlikely to crack from high pressure or high threat situations, and their minds are highly focused and able to make sharp snap choices that others would hesitate and then potentially die from as a result. Self-sacrifice for the whole is something embedded into them from an early age and will have built up a tolerance for conditions that many other humans would simply break down from. Deathworlds yield some of the most extreme specialists in the Imperial Guard, including the jungle fighters of Katashan, the desert raiders of Talan, the Ice World Valhallans, and yes, of course, the Death Corps of Krieg. Which brings me finally to the easiest planetary designation, Dead Worlds. Now, there's little to say, as these are worlds which do not contain any forms of biological life. They may not even contain an atmosphere or have very limited gravity. These worlds are not able to support life and would require massive terraforming to become usable. And this is usually seen as an unnecessary and wasteful use of resources. They may, though, still be used as monitoring outposts, research stations, or potentially mining operations. All of these would require specially purpose-built habitats that can provide a secure atmosphere as well as any research or processing facilities needed. There are, of course, worlds, for example, like the Moon of Terror, that may have always been classified as a dead world. However, in more recent times, you've seen planets be classified as the result of devastating assaults by Xenos. These are usually planets that have been ravaged by Tyranid fleets and are consequently left as barren dead husks, with often not even any mineral wealth remaining, just pure dead rock. It's possible, though, that a planet becomes designated if it were required to carry out an exterminatus upon the planet, the result being the complete destruction of the biosphere and the extermination of all life, sentient or otherwise, on the planet. This is performed by the Imperium usually when a planet risks contaminating others in a system with disease, the incursions of chaos, or some out-of-control mutation or other horrors that has grown beyond the ability to control and suppress it by conventional means. Ancient dead worlds, though, can often appear deceptively dull, yet contain in actuality an extreme danger. For many dead worlds have been known to now contain the tombs of the until recently dormant race known as the Necrons. They placed themselves in hibernation within their tombs on many dead worlds as long ago as some 60 million years and are now scattered across the inhabited systems of the Imperium. Some of these dead planets may even contain ancient relics or ruins of the pre-Necron race, the Necron Tyr, hidden below the surface. And these sites may often be discovered by archaeological expeditions led by the Mechanicus, their curiosity often leading them into ancient Necron Tyr ruins that do not immediately appear to be Necron in origin, and then they may unwittingly awaken the Necrons who are slumbering deeper in their tomb, thus dooming themselves and any nearby worlds to almost certain obliteration. We will cover tomb worlds in more detail when we reach the Xenos Worlds section of this series. Coming next in the planetary series will be the resource worlds. These are the planets that supply the raw materials that keep humanity operational. Until then, if you enjoyed this video, please drop a like, and as always, I'll see you in the next one.